Hi, my name is Amber Dlugosh and I teach dual credit composition at Bolivar High School. This year took a turn that we could not have anticipated. I would have never guessed that I'd be finishing the school year out teaching at home with my dog Dottie, who you can hear walking across the floor right now. Though their senior year took a harsh turn and many are now facing tough realities, my students have continued to exude exemplary character. The stories and insights they've shared have challenged me to keep going and to see different perspectives. So I've asked them if they would share with you by reading a piece of their own choosing. In each episode, you'll hear from five members of the graduating class of 2020. I call this group of students the Good Guys, and I think you'll see why. I hope you enjoy another episode of Powerful Perspectives.
The beautiful journey of today can only begin when we let go of yesterday. Hi, I'm Anne Marie, and I'm a journeyer. I will be sharing the story of a very significant journey. It's a story of rejection and reflection, and of a friend that walks in when the rest of the world walks out. It's a story of a walk down a hall. It wasn't a long hallway. I just needed to put one foot in front of the other and get to that door so I wouldn't be in the silent hall anymore. There were 10 classrooms in a corner that turned into the lunchroom. It wasn't a large school either. There were 20 other students in my class. Almost all of us grew up together. We went to the same preschool, ate the same lunches every day, and went to each other's houses on the weekends. We called ourselves the originals once middle school came around and different kids started moving in. We played the same sports too. Basketball and baseball. It was fifth grade when my best friend Kimberly pushed my head into the water fountain and busted my lip. I still don't know why. We stopped being friends after that. She joined basketball and I joined cheerleading, where I became close with my friend Hannah. Hannah was my base leader for every stunt because I knew she would catch me if I fell. Hannah was the one who stayed on the phone the whole day when my grandpa died my seventh grade year. She had just spent the night before, since it was homecoming and we had a cheer performance to practice. She left the next morning, and that was when my papaw laid down in bed, smiled, pointed his finger to the sky, and stopped breathing. That day, I couldn't go in to say goodbye, and I couldn't let my family see me cry. I had to be their strong little girl, no matter what. I called Hannah, who knew he had been sick, and I told her. It happened. She began crying, and I could no longer hold back my sadness. I sobbed silently, but it was such a relief. I didn't have to be strong. I could fall, and Hannah would catch me.
Then Hannah started telling me about some family drama on her Facebook, and suddenly, I did not feel comfortable crying anymore. I listened to how rude her aunt's comments on her stepmother's post was, and I felt foolish for wanting to still cry. I felt like I did when Kimberly busted my lip. Shame, sadness, and rejection all drained through me and left me confused. Bitterness and anger then replaced my grief. At the time, I didn't realize that Hannah was doing her best to comfort me.
Hannah quit cheerleading that year, but of course we were still friends after that. It didn't matter that I no longer had a base, or that she never asked me how I was after that homecoming. She, Lydia, and I would eat lunch together every day. Until one day, when Hannah sat with everyone else at a different table. I felt a little of that same bitterness bubble up into my throat. There was no room for Lydia and I there. The weeks went on and Hannah didn't come sit with us again. Lydia and I were accepting of it, though. We grew closer because of it. At the end of that semester, we chose our schedules to match so that the following year, our first official year of high school, we could share a locker, take turns writing notes, and never have to sit at different tables. We shared one tray of lunch together every day. Some days, though, there was food still left on the tray after I ate my half. She didn't say anything about that, so I didn't either. I should have asked. Maybe if I asked her why she didn't eat, she would have asked me why I cried in the locker rooms. It was freshman year when we lost our house. In my elementary years, we had a new AC unit installed. Incorrectly. Its condensation was made to drain under our house instead of out the condensation pipe. You wouldn't think a few drops of water could do any harm, but after a couple of hot and humid summers, water builds up, and flood damage makes penicillin aspergillus. Mold is a lot like feelings. A couple traumatic events can take place, and it won't seem to do too much damage. But when something or someone goes unchecked for a few seasons, the damage becomes irreversible, its roots dig deep, and it's toxic. Mom and I stayed with my grandma for a few months until she started to go through our things when we were gone and taking what she liked, walking in when I was doing homework to fight about why I wasn't scrubbing her floors, and throwing plates at dinner. We were blessed to find a camper to park where our old house used to stand. That is, before we ourselves had to tear everything down and burn everything that was left because the company that installed the AC unit incorrectly wanted to just fix the condensation line. We wore hazmat suits to do it, so we wouldn't be inflicted with even more mold poisoning. We loved that camper. It was so nice to have our own bunks and to live with Dad again. Until winter, when the little heater wasn't enough to keep the cold out of our bones, and the memory foam mats that were on the bunks were worn down to nothing. I don't remember much of that time, where Dad had been staying or what I was supposed to learn in school. They say that traumatic stress targets episodic memory. It wasn't a long hallway, but the walk with my best friend Lydia was always fun. We would shove through the taller kids together arm in arm so we wouldn't get separated. We would stop at our locker and trade out our books, giggle when we saw the boys we had crushes on walk by, and worry about our biology test at the end of the day. Every day we had the same routine, and we were happy with it. Until I started talking less, because Lucas was pointing out to everyone how I still had a baby voice when I would answer a question in class, because my journals and backpack and shirt and hair smelled like the plastic in the camper, because my books were just too heavy, and because I did not want to go home at the end of the day. And then Lydia started talking less too. She stopped giving Lucas dirty looks when he would laugh at me. She started taking her own notes. And she didn't eat anything at lunch, but would instead look off to the other tables with her head on her fist. And then we stopped walking together down that long and lonely hallway. After weeks of walking by myself, I started noticing who passed by me. There was Kimberly. She walked alone, too. There was Allie, Colin, Audrey, Samantha, and Trenton, who never left one another. Hannah and Karen. Christopher and Lydia? They were all together, talking and laughing. It wasn't a long hallway, but I couldn't breathe. I stopped to catch my breath. I felt like I was going to throw up and pass out, and I told them that, but they didn't hear me. The originals had already gone into the class that we all shared. The door had just closed behind Christopher. I just wanted to tell someone that I wasn't okay. I just needed someone who saw I wasn't feeling good. I just should have told Lydia how good of a friend she was, and I should have shown her I cared about her by asking why she stopped eating. I just should have thanked Hannah for trying to take my mind off the death of my very first best friend by sharing the hard time she was going through. I just should have told Lucas that I couldn't help it, and what he said hurt my feelings. I should have just cried in front of my family when we lost Papa and when we lost everything else we had, and for all the days we spent in that cold, cold camper. It wasn't a long hallway, but I couldn't make it to that door. I felt all the weight of the wrongs that were done to me and that I had done in the pit of my stomach, and I couldn't push it away this time. It wasn't a long hallway, but my tears filled it. That summer break, my tears filled the camper too, and my grandma's house when I went to stay with her. My tears leaked into the bathrooms of Bolivar High sophomore year. Those hallways were long. I didn't know anyone. The lunchroom was too big, too loud, too strange, and I had a locker all by myself. I felt that weight in my core every time I walked to a new class, sat in a seat behind people who laughed and smiled and didn't talk to me. But the bathrooms were quiet, the library was full of stories to hide in, and the art room held brushes to paint away my fears. That was where I met Anna. We sat by each other each time in class. She invited me to have lunch with her friends in the library. I saw that this was my second chance. None of us grew up together, we didn't go to the same preschool, didn't eat the same lunches every day, didn't go to each other's houses on the weekends. But I saw that we could. I could share how I grew up, what I liked and disliked, and that I wasn't always okay. I could admit that it hurt, that I hurt. So I did,
and Anna and I walked down those halls together, even though we didn't share the same classes. We shared the same tray, and not a single fry would be left. I could call her when I got home and tell her that I still did not like being home. I remember all the times we would stay up chatting, laughing at dumb things without shame, and dream about what we wanted to do after high school. Anna and I don't walk those halls together anymore, but I'm okay with that. I know that I have many friends who will listen and will understand that I'm not always okay. They won't reject me or make that feeling of choking anger rise to my throat. They know that sometimes I have to not talk because I need to let myself feel hurt first. And I know that as soon as I feel out of breath and need to tell someone, they're right there. I won't have to walk down that. I can walk long hallways now, and I enjoy every step.
Hello, my name is Avery Gibson, and I'm a good guy. I'll be reading my list writing essay that I turned in. It's called Why I Worry, and I chose this because it's about the coronavirus right now and how I've been feeling about it, and this is how I coped with it, was putting it through paper. My friends all ask me why I worry during this pandemic, why I worry to leave the house, why I worry about my health because it's not so serious. They ask me why I'm staying at home and can't come see them, and because I fear confrontation, I say it's simply because my parents aren't allowing me to leave the house. In reality, I'm not terrified to catch the virus. I'm worried I would spread it to someone who can't fight it like I can. Why do I worry? Because I live with someone very important to me that's at high risk. Why do I worry about leaving the house? Because if I give this virus to my important person, they go into the hospital alone, and I'm not allowed. Why do I worry about my health? Because if I don't know I'm sick and I give this virus to my important person, not only do they go into the hospital alone, but if they die there, they die alone. And I would never forgive myself. Why did I stop working? To protect them. Why don't I go out anymore? To protect them. Why can't I come over? So I can protect them. Why can't I come inside? So I can protect them. But I'm using hand sanitizer. Oh, hand sanitizer. Suddenly all my opinions have changed, haven't they? Because scrubbing the bacteria off of your hands completely prevents it from being attached to your clothes, on your face, arms, legs, and everywhere else. Of course. Now it's okay. Come on in. In my dreams, I see my friends. Alongside them is me. We're riding around town, going out to eat, swimming and fishing. I only hope everything blows over because I'm taking a hard hit of worry that I can't shake off. Because I know if I hurt someone because of the virus, I will never forgive myself.
Why, hello there, everyone. My name is Jocelyn Lane, and I am a free thinker. I'm an optimist. I'm weird, but in a good way. I'm me, and I think that's the best way to describe it. And well, today I wanted to share with you guys a piece I wrote. It's a list writing. I wrote it April 9th, so almost a month ago. And it... yeah. I'll read it and then I'll explain. How about that? Does that sound good? Nice. Okay. On the outside, it looks like a normal Thursday, but it is anything but. It's my 18th birthday and I have spent it stuck in quarantine. Yay! I miss the chaos of my friends and my dear old Bolivar High School. I miss the constant motion of my life. You know, my life has always had this go, but sadly, the motion has become stagnant. I struggle with these things, and to others they seem like minor speed bumps, but to me they're huge barriers. I have a decently large house, but with quarantine it feels like it's moving in to crush me. Thankfully, I have the ability to go outside and enjoy some fresh air, which is a luxury some people don't get. I have actually been using some of my time to clean up our roads and our creeks near my home because litter is a huge problem in America. I miss how I could go to work. I miss how I could go shopping. I miss how it felt to be able to say, hey, I'm going to go hang out with my friends. Is that okay? Now I can't do any of that. I can't see my friends. I miss how life used to be. I can't even celebrate my 18th birthday the way I was hoping. But that's okay, because I have a loving family. It's just all kind of a bummer. I have thankfully been able to start Project Hope, which I mentioned earlier on, which initially was a JAG assignment that I have decided to make its own thing, which has me cleaning up Missouri as much as I can. We only have one Earth, and we should treat her right. Our roads and our creeks are polluted, and during quarantine, it's the perfect time to make a difference. I say this because everyone is supposed to be inside, so technically their litter shouldn't be as much as usual. I've gotten a lot of support from a good amount of people who are even starting to clean up areas close to them as well. This job needs to be done, but sadly, not a lot of people are willing to do it. It's a gross job, and it's a hard one, too. Emotions have been kind of messy from time to time, but recently it's been okay. We've been able to laugh as a family. We have been able to make light of a hard situation, and I'm blessed to have a loving family, but sometimes we've really had enough of each other. We are all our own people with our own thoughts and emotions, and sometimes that is hard when you are in a house together all the time. But like I said, we make it work and love together. It's just a process we have to learn. Now, sorry. Now I know it will all work out in the end. We just have to take a second to catch our breath. So yeah, that was my list writing I wrote a month ago. I almost said a year ago, man. It kind of feels like it's been that long, but I don't know. A lot of those emotions are still the same, but a lot has changed. I recently have been able to go back to work, which is amazing. I've been able to see some of my friends and have what we call social distancing parties. I've been able to make light of this hard situation. And yes, emotions have been hard from time to time. And yes, my parents and I have fought here and there, but it's just better than before. I've been able to realize all that I've taken for granted. You know, we take so much of our lives and we don't realize how lucky we are until it's all taken away. I'm grateful for all I have. And you know, I know we will be able to get through this, and eventually quarantine will end, you know? The thing about humans is we get ourselves into sticky situations, but we can get ourselves out of them. I'm so grateful for everything that I've been given. So, yeah. Thank you all so much for listening. And be strong during this quarantine. I know it's hard, but nothing good isn't worth waiting for. Once quarantine's over, I know I will, but I feel like we all will have a new respect for our life. Yeah. I hope you all have an amazing day. And like I said, thank you so much for listening, and we can get through this together. Mwah. Bye, guys.
Hey there, my name is Emma Henderson, and I am a person. I was a high school student. Now I'm just a person who is lost in this gigantic world. I'll be reading my list assignment from April 21st. I chose this piece because it actually shows like a part of who I am. And also I thought my gym class essay wasn't like complete. So here we go. It is Sunday night. As usual, I'm up late, way later than I should because I procrastinate on a homework I have and don't want to do. You would think that with the time that we have due to the coronavirus that I would have done it already. But of course I haven't. I am stuck in a house because social distancing is the new in. I'm constantly surrounded by my siblings, mom, and dad. Brad is here too. All I can do to escape is go to my room and think about what I would be doing if I am at school, which I am then called for and then have to leave my alternate reality. I never noticed how much I would miss high school. I miss my friends, their greetings with coffee, their problems that I got to help fix but never told them mine. I miss my teachers, their, hey, how you doing, Emma? I miss my coaches, how Coach Roth would ask, what class are you skipping, or countless others with, how is your blood pressure today? I miss library lunches with Miss Lugosh, Miss Waters, Miss Campbell, Miss Rice, and Corey Siegfried. God forbid people talk about poop, but we did almost every day. Only to mix it up when we throw in something serious. I miss going to Coach Glasgow's room, playing with the Infinity Cube or the wooden ball puzzle, getting scolded for touching the stapler again, or the tape dispenser, or the lighter, joking around that we were going to burn everything. I miss going into Coach Waters and just sitting on the tables, next to her desk, at her desk, which in return she would hand me a paper and pen so I could communicate what was wrong, or sometimes even right. I miss cleaning the desk up so that it looks just a tad bit better, because I knew she wouldn't get to it. The half-cut sweet teas with white ice, too. I miss those sips just to get at her. I miss actually getting to talk to people's faces. I miss being able to talk to people about how I feel. But Brad's here, and he is like one of those people that I can talk to. I like Brad. He is like my grandma. He lets me be me. He lets my emotions know that they can be seen, be heard. He knows what it's like. Or he knows what to ask, what like Coach Roth did. He also taught me how to drive. He knows when I need to get out, knows what to say to me. Even when I say nothing out loud, he knows my needs, just like Waters. He sees it. He sees me. He jokes like Coach Glasgow does, but he knows when to be serious, too, like Miss Lugosh, Coach Waters, and many others. I know that I can trust him like I do Coach Rothiner, Coach Waters, Miss Lugosh, etc. I know that he won't use it against me like others have before. And that would wrap up my list writing. So, yeah.
Hi, everyone. I would just like to thank y'all for joining us today and listening to the things that we have all taken time to write. My name is Sarah Green, and I am a 2020 senior, and today I will be reading the list writing I made entitled I Miss. I chose this piece because I liked it the best out of all the pieces I've written, and I feel like most people can relate to the things I'm saying. But I also like this piece because it tells people, hey, everyone misses things, and that's okay to let yourself miss things, because that's normal, but sometimes we get to a point where we normalize missing things so much so that we don't miss them anymore. And I just want everyone to stop and think about that. Okay, here we go. I miss. As I'm driving through the park, I start to notice something. All the playground equipment is crossed off with caution tape, and it makes me even more depressed than I already am. It makes me have so many emotions, and I realize what I miss. I miss the world and the way it has always been to me. I miss the school halls that I have walked over and over every day for the past years of my life. I miss the people who I called my friends. I miss food and sitting down to eat late at night. I miss midnight conversations face to face with another. I miss talking. I miss shopping. I miss the way the sun feels on a warm sunny day when you and your best friends are out all day getting a nice new sunburn. I miss track meets and competing in sports. I miss senior year. I miss the memories that once could have been, but now will never be. I miss the teachers. I miss the thrill of doing a new lab in chemistry with different elements just to make an explosion. I miss the colors the world once had but just doesn't seem to have anymore. I miss the sunsets that I can now only see if I look out my window at night. I miss the schedule and how life was once so organized. I miss the night. I miss the moon and the feel of cold air as it drifts in the night. I miss the stars, because now they all seem so far. I miss not looking out my window to see the things that happened during the night. I miss cheering on my teammates during their sports. I miss going to physical therapy and doing my best to get my knee in shape so one day I may be allowed to compete just one more time. I miss adventures to the great wide nowhere. I miss traveling to places I have not been or even seen before. I miss open doors with friendly faces standing just beyond to welcome new ones with open arms and steady hands. I miss carefree souls being gathered around me just waiting for life to really open up for us to have a good time and have each other's company to have a good time with. I miss the smell of Grandma's house, which always smelled of chocolate chip cookies and lemon cakes. I miss cookies. I miss books. I miss missing things that were once part of everyday life. I miss not knowing what truly alone meant. I miss my loved ones that I might not get to see for a long time. I miss knowing what tomorrow will hold for me and the people around me. I miss feeling safe to go outside and walk around and breathe in the air all around me. I miss the sound of my friends' laughter and how it fills the air so nicely. I miss the sound of their now fading voices. I miss being able to wear my dress at prom and being able to take my favorite person in the world. I miss knowing that when I graduate, there will be a graduation, because at this point, I don't know. I miss messing around all day and getting nothing done. I miss not even knowing what online school was. I really miss the known. Now there are so many regulations and guidelines that are changing, they soon fade into a record on repeat. Can't go to stores, can't go to physical therapy, can't stay outside, can't even go outside past a certain time. The world is being evolved. The things we miss are starting to become so normal, so much so that we start to not miss what we already had. Because now, it's normal.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. I know that these five seniors really appreciate your time and your ears. They have boldly shared their own stories and perspectives, and I celebrate that in them. It's very brave and courageous of them to do. In our class, we center all that we do around one common saying: stories create connection, and connection creates understanding. And it's my hope that that's what's happened here today. Thank you again.